The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Power on Earth, 15 to 20 million.
Jump out.
I am your future.
Isn't it about time for a change?
We're our national leaders.
AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio, broadcasting here on 860 AM. And as you know, we serve southeastern Pennsylvania, the state of New Jersey, and northern Delaware on the radio. However, if you have your access to your internet site, you can go to AmericanWorkersRadio.com and click on the Listen Live link every Wednesday between 11 a.m. and 12 noon. Also, if you have Alexa, you can say Alexa 860 AM Radio. You can listen to rebroadcasts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anytime you choose, simply by logging on to AmericanWorkersRadio.com, and we'll certainly be happy to hear from you. I just got a little message from my Alexa. We have an Alexa here in the studio, and when I mentioned Alexa, she right away freaked out and said, "I don't understand what you're asking for." Well, today we're going to have a good broadcast because today's a day, a historic day. I'll talk a minute about that. In fact, on this day, 82 years ago, Hitler invaded Poland. And of course, there is a whole article about it in the Polish American News, which you can access on the front page of PolishAmericanCenter.com. We have a very sizable Polish-American audience, and we're going to be getting ready for a lot of special things this weekend, including Labor Day weekend, and that is the Polish-American Festival at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa in Doylestown, Pennsylvania. There's also a link on the front page of Polish American Center that'll take you right to that advertisement, and I hope to see you there at the festival. I want to also say a special thank you to the good people who join us every week. You know, I have a lot of respect for these gentlemen because they come to give good news. You know, when you listen to the news, you wonder, what the hell is going on in this country? And on my way in today, I had to go to three or four channels just to hear some sensible news. And I said to myself, just a few years ago, life in America was much easier. Of course, when the coronavirus hit, our life became much more difficult. But my thanks to Larkin Connolly, Rich Loges, Mark Andel, Henry Chaplinsky, all of you are good listeners and faithful supporters that go out and talk about our efforts. In fact, before I go further, let me just say that this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is the September edition of National Small Business Weekend. Kindly go out and support your local businesses because they really mean a lot. And there is a promo right there on the front page of American Workers Radio. In fact, there are several promos talking about various things that we're trying to promote throughout the year. November is going to be American Made Month. Then during December, we're going to try to push Small Business Month. We got to do things in a positive way to keep our people safe and sound. What I'm hearing in the news is one thing. The reality is we have to look out for one another first and foremost. Well, just before I go to some of our good panel members, I just want to say that, you know, it was back in 1882 that the first Labor Day holiday was celebrated in New York City. And they celebrated high because, wow, it was a beautiful time. There was so much made in America, so much, you know, shipped out to various countries of the world. They called America the workshop of the world. The celebration was so popular that 2 years later, in 1884, the United States Congress authorized a special act designating the first Monday of September as Labor Day. And that was supposed to be a national holiday, which urged all Americans to recognize the accomplishments of American workers, support the efforts of American workers, the businesses that employed them, and the strength, prosperity, and financial well-being that jobs provide for every American worker and their families and America's economy. Something very interesting and something we need to start looking at a little more differently. And by the way, as we observe Labor Day, you're all encouraged to go out and support your local small businesses and speak up when you're in there. Don't be afraid to say, you know, I'm a small business supporter and I'm also looking for as much American made that I can get. This is not just, we're seeing less products on the street because of the coronavirus pandemic and all the things that took place in other countries that are offering us supplies. But the main thing is start talking it up, because I'm seeing a lot more companies interested in presenting American-made items. So as we observe Labor Day, it's a time for us to look at the accomplishments of American workers, all the people that are employed by major businesses throughout the United States. We still have 30 million businesses, and they include the self-employed, their police, firemen, government workers, school teachers, builders, welders, you name it, engineers, people on the radio, you name it, we're all part of American workers. So any way you can support our movement, it would certainly be well appreciated. And a man that is very well known for supporting American workers is Mark Endel. Mark, you are an example. I'm always proud to talk to people about you, and I'm always proud to ask them to check out our internet site, where they will find the link to the Made in America store. Mark Endel, how are you doing?
Good, Mike. How are you doing? And, you know, Henry making us sound good, and I think we got a full team on, and I heard Bruce might be back. It's awesome. Mike, doing good, fighting the fight. Labor Day, you touched on so many good things there, and Labor Day is just the weekend we're all about, and I've got a lot of hard workers on my team with General Welding and Fabricating and the Made in America stores, and our team just keeps working, you know, and it's awesome. You know, we're trying to find more. The culture has changed. Workers are different. They don't work at the same speed and ethics as we do, but we're trying to work with the youth and, you know, train them up and you get that culture back. We're excited that September 6th, the free money goes away, because we're hoping that people will get back to work, because worker shortage is a number one problem. And skilled trades always was, Mike, that we talked about on your show for the last years. But now just finding a worker from truck drivers, of course, Made in America retail counter people. At General Welding, we need welders and laborers. And it's just sad times in the U.S. For the work culture change. And I think free money takes the reason to work away, and it confuses people. But on a positive note, we've got our buses coming back, Mike. Last year, our bus tour buses were devastated. You know, we average 100 to 200 a year at the store. We're just going to pass 1,000 buses since we started. But we've got 60 back, Mike, and you'll be happy to hear that. Dorothy's been working her tail off, and we've got 60 in October, or September and October. Great to see great Americans coming off these buses. You know what? All race, all color, all lives matter, and we talk it up and we have a ball. Again, we're not an R&D thing when they come off the bus, so we handshake, and I always ask how many veterans on the bus, and we give them a round of applause. And my number one thing on a bus is, Mike, after my story, I try to do every bus, tell them my story and tell them why our store exists. But We always, at the end, I always say that, can our flag, can we agree at least that our flag should be made here? And most people don't realize 50% of our American flags are made overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everybody agrees with that one. Also, Mike, I want to say on my radio show yesterday, I honored the heroes, the 13 heroes, 11 Marines, one Army, one Navy, that lost their lives on the 26th. I honored them because they're in my heart and prayer every day. You know, hats off to our veterans, those that sacrifice everything for our freedoms every day. So, you know, I want to always bring them up. We're coming up on the 20th year anniversary of September 11th. You know, so a lot of things going on. And on the product shortage, Bruce educated us even more. I went to bat right away, learning and listening to everything that we see going on. How can you beat this? Well, we're made in America. Within our borders, we've got the worker shortage. We've got some component shortage, but not what you see overseas. So I reacted and ordered, you know, our toys are on order. I'm putting purchase orders because if we can't get products for the fourth quarter ourselves, then it shuts us off. No sales, no cash flow. So I'm reacting and trying to get products in as fast as we can. Most of our vendors, I've got 500 vendors that support our 100% Made in America products. Most of them go to bat for us, but most of them have all the demand they want. They just don't have the workers they need. So they might give us partial orders, Mike, but it's going to be an interesting fourth quarter, to say the least. And I tell people, buckle up, because you haven't seen nothing from this fallout of the China pandemic.
Oh, absolutely, Mark. We haven't seen anything from it yet. I will tell you, this is an opportunity for the American people to come alive again and do something. We've been watching this era of long-term employment opportunities leaving this country. It's got to be 35, 40 years. We became a global economy. All these people came around and convinced the American people, what's the difference? We're all one big, happy global family. Well, that's very fine when your country is doing its best. If we had all of our people employed, which we should, then of course we go around the world and welcome workers to make things for us. But when we're here at 36 million people, 36 and probably going to go to 37 shortly, million people living in poverty, 40 million people need food stamps. It's just impossible to believe it. And yet the political structure is just talking about, you know, stabbing each other in the back. There's really no focus on what are we going to do for America. Do we represent foreign countries or do we represent America?
You know, one thing I just want to bring up before the guys come on, you know, this Afghanistan mess and evacuation, I call it, if you don't know what the news, you know, every time you turn the news on, you should ask, what are they selling tonight? But if you haven't seen how controlled and owned the news is just in the last 2 weeks, I just, you know, I don't think you know too much. You know, you can watch this news and how they try to paint different pictures. It's just very interesting to me.
It's disappointing. You know why?
It is very disappointing.
It's disappointing because there's nobody. It's this side wants to stab that one. This side wants to stab the other one, make this one look bad. You know, for many, many years, people wanted the president of the United States to be the most important man in our country. And that's really how it should be.
Right.
But it's
like, as a leader, you know, we want to trust our government, right, whatever side. And they've got to start uniting. But as a leader, you got to be honest. You've got to be upfront with the people and just be honest. If you make mistakes, you've got to be honest. And leading, you've got to have the people behind. We want to trust our government. We want to trust, you know, the people that we elect. And we need people to start uniting and working on challenges together. That's the number one problem in our country.
You know, Mark, when people stop me, and I'm looking forward to seeing many of the people at this Polish American festivals, which starts this weekend at Częstochowa in Doylestown. Many of the people say, you know, I listen to the program, I read the various commentaries. You changed my life. You changed my life. And I tell me why and how. And they say, because I never looked at labels. I just looked for price, just run in and out of the store. It never concerned me what was going on. until I watched what's happening in the industries in America, how they helped to devastate our neighborhoods. When I saw poverty grow, these are not just whimsical conversations. These are facts and figures.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you like me, our team, we want to be consistent. We want to educate and raise awareness. When I bring up the flag story that I tell on a bus that 50% of our flags are made overseas, that's absolutely true. Carter Beard from Man in Flag was in the movie with me, you know, Valley Forge. Whoever, but that's just a shame, but we educate the people with that statement, then they go, are you kidding me? So what you do and we do, we're consistent, we educate, raise awareness. Most people don't know how they can make a simple difference by picking up something and putting it back if it says China-made or foreign-made. Again, our goal is 50-50 fair trade. We're not saying, but our country's so out of balance, let's get the 50-50.
I'd like to see the flag 100% made in the USA.
You know, sewn and stitched stars. I mean, so many men and women died for that flag. You've got to make that in our country. That should be a national
Oh, absolutely. And it's good to hear also, before I go to Rich and Larkin, and I understand Bruce is with us again. He was very interesting last week. And thank you, Bruce, for your participation. You know, I'm glad to see a growing number of businesses are going out of their way to promote America. And I'm glad to hear that a lot of people walk into the stores and say, you know, Tom, why is everything in here made in a foreign country? And he said, well, that's just how my suppliers made it. And they said, you know, we got to do something about it because, you know, my kids are growing up. My son is graduating high school in 2 years. He is going to go to college. What is going to be the bottom line? A big education bill? And then what do you do after you graduate with that beautiful certificate? If everything, technology, you know, did you see the interview of the gentleman who was talking about the chips being made in China?
I've seen a few different ones, but I haven't seen. I'm not sure if that's a specific one.
Well, he said, you know, the guy said, well, you have hundreds of thousands of cars that can't move because we haven't made the chip. You know, we have to share our manufacturing with other countries in the world. And I thought, and as I was listening to it, I thought to myself, wait a minute. Why aren't we making 80% of those chips here in the USA? What the hell is going on?
Right. And like I said before, them vehicles, they run, but they're parked at the Kentucky Derby, wherever. But they start and run, but they have none of the safety features, all the things that computer chips control. Now they're becoming a strange year. Do you build the next model? The birds are doing their job, like I said, on them, the sun rays, the UV rays. This is such a problem that's building. I've met with the top officials at the, you know, Ford. It's a major problem, these trucks and cars being held there. It's going to create this weird, weird bubble in our manufacturing of automobiles.
Yep, and it's going to, maybe we'll just almost have to have 1 year, model year, out of the picture in some of the some of the products. I want to turn a few minutes to Rich Loges. Now, there's a man who watches everything. He knows what's going on. He's not afraid to speak up. And I want to hear a report. How are you doing, Rich?
Oh, good morning, Michael and Bruce. Welcome back, and to our listeners. And I hope, Mark, that very, very soon, I'm happy to say that whether directly or indirectly, Mark is going to be very instrumental in developing with me some of the merchandise, Mark, that we're going to need for my political
action. I'm going to help you on your other project too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, and I have for Mark, I've made the introduction, Mark, with Rob, to someone who's it's his own small business. He's making some patriotic American themed clothing, but that clothing is not made here in the U.S. So what I've done is set up the introduction to see, Mark, if we can get this clothing made here. And even whatever added costs might incur, I believe it makes up and then some for that ability to go and and actually market 100% made in America. And that's the part, Mark, that, you know, I was on your site last night because I have another gift card. Whenever I get gift cards from my work, because a lot of the technologies I sell, Mark, are not made in the U.S., so I'm not going to say it's buyer's remorse for guilt, but whenever I get some of these gift cards for, you know, doing like sales training where I get to go on the training and quote Alec Baldwin from Glengarry Glen Ross and all 80 F words that he says, I just love doing that on the sales training. And then I get these gift cards, and I like to spend it on Mark's store. And last night I was on the store, Mark, and it, you know, I got to thinking again about this, because what I'm going to get from Mark's store, Mark, what I'm going to get from you is, you know, you look around and say, oh, there's books, there's food. That's all wonderful. Like, I bought that from you in the past, but I'm just going to get bar soap from Mark, right? And I was reminded of this quote years ago. Here's a non sequitur for us today. I was reminded of a quote years ago by John Lennon, who had said that if you want to get peace, right, instead of war, you got to sell it like soap. Like John Lennon said that. He's like, sell peace like soap and you'll get peace, right? And I was thinking about this quote last night. I'm a, you know, big Beatles John Lennon fan. And I got to thinking, Mark, it's like that's the marketing challenge, right? Because when people think I need soap, they go to Amazon, they go to the pharmacies, they go wherever they go, the grocery store. And we're trying to get buyers, consumers, that when they think about what they need to purchase, because let's be honest, everybody spends money every single day of their lives, to get them thinking, you know what, let me try to find at least one of these products made in America. And that's the hard part of this, Mark, right? Because you could have a million products on your store, Mark, but if there is not a collective mindset about buying made in America, it makes it harder. That's just a fact. So it's like we spend our time going to talk about this. You know, I have medications that I take that are, again, not the blue pill. I'm not there yet, thankfully. They're made in the U.S. You know, I bought something in the past week that I needed for home improvement. Was made here. You didn't carry it, Mark. I checked first, right? So it was made in the U.S. And I could have bought a version of it, Mark, that was a little bit cheaper, but it wasn't made here. So I decided to get the Made in America. That doesn't make me a hero. I'm just saying, for everybody out there who talks about Made in America, my question for them is, what did you buy last week or 2 weeks ago, or what did you buy last month that was made in the U.S.? Right. And if the look that you get is basically one of you forgot to zip your pants up after leaving the men's room, then you probably then the person probably didn't buy anything made in the U.S. Or even worse than that, Mark, bought something in America and didn't realize it. That sucks too.
Mm-hmm.
and as a side note, Michael, in my rant this morning, okay, I just want to say I really I appreciate that you sent out the commemorative email about today. So today is the anniversary of the commencement of World War II, when, as you pointed out, as when the Germans rolled the tanks into Poland. And not to go into a history tangent, right, but Poland had to deal with Germany and had to deal with the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. One came in as, right, and both came in stating we're your friends, but in reality they were their enemy all the time, Michael. So Poland, you know, has shown a great deal of resiliency in the second half of the 20th century into this century. And I'm not, my wife is from Poland. I do not keep up with politics that much in Poland, Michael. It is hard enough to keep up with what's going on in my own school board. But I do pay attention a little bit to it. And, you know, the nation, the country, does deserve America's respect for how self-reliant they've been and how they've been able to deal with hostile rogue nations, of course, of which independence was fought for in the 1990s, and that independence continues to be fought for today, right? Because when you fight for independence, just look at our own history, Michael, the fight for freedom doesn't really have a finish line. There's no actual end to it. The fight for freedom continually goes on, right? Sort of ad infinitum into the next generation. So thanks for sending that out. I actually did read through what you had. I learned some historical details, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
You know, Rich, what was very interesting with some of the responses I received this morning was people said, look at the situation in Poland. Hitler invaded them on September the 1st. The Russians came in September the 17th. For years, through communism, they tried to crush this country. Not that they wanted to crush the people. They wanted the country. They loved the landscape of the country and everything else. But they tried very hard to control the people. And once the Solidarity Movement began and Poland regained its freedom, look what can be done if you focus on your future. Today, Poland is one of the great, great economies of Europe. Unbelievable. Travelers go there like it's going out of style. They come back and they say, it's clean, it's beautiful, it's happy. Everybody is walking, you know, with happiness on their faces. And, you know, the musicians and in the various special parks for tourists and all, they came up the ladder of success. My point is, what are we going to do in the United States of America to get rid of all this negativity and rise up and become America again? And I'm going to ask that question to Larkin Conley. Larkin.
Oh. Good morning. Good morning, Michael. You there?
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry. I've had nothing but mic problems all morning. The problem is very deep seated, and it's been growing since John F. Kennedy. Let me see if I can get to this point without going all the way around Billy's barn. I have found that over the last 3 weeks, I have almost been embarrassed to claim that I'm an American. And when I saw what Biden did in order to leave the country of Afghanistan, I thought to myself, well, we've made a handful of mistakes here that we need to correct. I can't believe this. And what it ended up as was my president and Washington, D.C. as a whole, because you can't blame it all on Biden, but I mean, most of this incident certainly is on his shoulders, just started telling me lies. And I've come to the realization that Washington has lied to this country continually for the last 50 years. And I think it all runs back to the same problem that corporations found themselves caught up in. The CEO of a corporation said, you know, I don't care what this corporation looks like 5 years from now. Five-year plan, you take your five-year plan and go away. I care what happens tomorrow because of my bonus. Well, the same plot goes into the politicians, all of them, all 535 of them, and everybody in the White House. What is it that we can do to be popular, to get reelected? Don't worry about 10 years from now. I was looking at something. It's impossible for Congress to present a spending bill that doesn't waste taxpayer money. And then they lie to us, one on top of the other. On last Sunday, a couple of Sundays ago, lawmakers released $100.2 trillion infrastructure package that they wanted to pass. Was some of the most reckless items in it that America, if they knew about it, would just. But the bill's 2,700 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
2,700. And let me just touch on a few things to lighten up the day for everybody. There's a spending item in there to research how to reduce roadkill. There's a spending line in there to report how to enhance Canada's train system.
Whose system?
Canada.
I thought it was supposed to be an American infrastructure bill.
No, Canada's train system.
Right, but I'm saying this is where we don't have, you know, Larkin, before I'm going to let you go right back to what you're saying, but I want to say to you, I believe this is a time for a major, major effort by government, American-based businesses, but mainly America's consumers to put a new focus on America. We can't trust the politicians.
No, we can't trust anything that comes out of Washington, D.C. In that 2,700 pages, there's a new board called the Women of Trucking Advisory Board, and this board is going to train more female truck drivers.
Very
there's
good.
Research in there for limousine safety. I haven't heard of any limousine accidents. And the final, and this is the one that really kind of irritates me. This isn't funny. Billions of dollars for the Green New Deal policies, including in the Green New Deal request, $5 billion for zero-emission school buses. Well, $5 million, what is the government going to do about the emissions from a school bus? Other than engage them and tell the people who make the buses, who hold the technology, that we want these things to be at zero emission. Is it going to take us $5 billion to create a committee or a law just like the laws that we passed on all of our automakers on their emissions and the catalytic converter and everything else? No, there are a bunch of people running around in the Capitol who are going to really create a zero admission bus, school bus. Isn't that wonderful? $250 million for electric ferries. $250 million for electric ferries. $250 million for invasive plant elimination program. And that's invasive plant is that kudzu and all that stuff that grows on the trees as you're coming down the highways, a lot of it in Georgia. I had it in my tree and Tampa, Florida, I went over and cut the vine at the root and came back in 2 weeks and pulled the vine out of the tree and the problem was gone. But we're going to spend $250 million for an invasive plant elimination program. So how much longer will we put up with Washington lying to us, with their power grabbing, with their decision that they're going to run elections all over the country? When is it that they're going to admit that there is nobody, no singular person or group of people in Washington, D.C. that know the difference between Montana and Alabama? They don't know the difference.
Mm-hmm.
And what applies in Alabama doesn't apply in Montana. So continue to embarrass me. Send, you know, Kamala Harris all over the world. She was going to help Biden sink America's, or she has helped America sink its, America's global reputation. A couple weeks ago, she flew to Asia, and she promised Vietnam that the U.S. would maintain a strong presence in South China Sea and challenge Beijing's bullying. So now Kamala Harris is either delusional or she's tone deaf or she could, for all I know, she could be both. But at the same time she is standing there telling this to the Vietnamese, we're getting fired upon. We're getting 12 of our soldiers murdered, 13 murdered for absolute stupidity and shame on our military for allowing that to happen. They've come down many rungs on the ladder as far as I'm concerned. What were 13 people doing standing outside that wall amongst the people, and how did somebody wearing a backpack with 25 pounds of explosives get to within 10 feet of our own soldiers?
Mm.
Well, yep. Come on. This is all. I'm so sick and tired of Washington, D.C. Oh.
But you know, Larkin, one of the problems that we're watching is through all these bills and all these special bills with 1,001 little extra add-ons is they're trying to make work for the American people at the expense of the American people, not at the profit where American workers can work and get a salary and businesses can profit. All this stuff that the 2,700 pages of this and the next one will be 2,900 pages. We're taking our money. We're your children and your grandchildren, my children and my grandchildren and everybody listening right now. We're all on the line for these dollars. That is why for a couple months I've been saying now it may be a new opportunity in this midterm election for the people running to start talking about ideas like this. I want everything put on the table so the public can see it. Put it on the internet. Put it in the newspapers. Yeah. Whatever. Mark, would you feel better if you could see what this stuff is before it's thrown in the hands of the Congress and the Senate and ready for the president's signature?
Mike, I want to say one thing before Bruce comes on. You know, the saddest thing I've probably heard and probably the largest problem our country's going to face is I do a lot with our veterans, Home Base for Honor Flight. Ricky Lee's got music for our vets, obviously. But talking to some, and these were families of generations of people who served, gave their lives, and they're starting to lose trust and hope and talking about not letting their grandchildren go into the military and whatnot. They've got a serious problem with what Larkin's talking about, not trusting, but in our you know, heroes and the families that, you know, that generation to generation have produced heroes, there's a problem now, and it's a major problem with how Afghanistan was handled.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of example is it to America's young people to be watching this chaotic pullout? You know, this should have been much differently prepared. America should never exit stage right or left. It should always exit forward. And the sad...
And to scramble the way they did. If this is the best example of what our military currently has, the most powerful military in the world. Don't tell that to anybody that you know from China because they'll want to argue with you. But the most powerful military in the world, and this happens.
But you know, Larkin, I don't understand. They were talking last week how many planes, how many tanks, how many guns that are going to be left there in usable condition. Even
Humvees, planes, jets,
who planned this exit is my question. Who planned this exit? It didn't happen. They're trying to say this one did this. You know, when you make a plan today and you see the plan is not correct, then you go to plan 2, or maybe 3, 4, or 5. I don't know. I have not seen to date the plan that they came up with back in April. I haven't seen anything yet. Because if it was me, I would not have allowed any of these plans to continue unless it was for America's security first and foremost.
And I listened to my president stare me straight in the puss about 10 days ago and say, we will leave no Americans behind. You can take that to the bank. Believe me when I say, I'm not going to believe another word that comes out of that man's mouth. Because what did he tell me yesterday? Well, we warned them months ago to get out. Well, that's not what you said to me 10 days ago. You told me you weren't going to leave anybody behind.
You see, there's no plan. There should be a plan with the Joint Chiefs of Staff. There should be a plan where the people sit around and say, well, that's not good. That's good. Whatever. You know, to give something to the military leaders and say, this is how we're going to execute this from start to finish. None of that is being done. Everything is today. It's this, tomorrow it's that. And that's not good for America. And this is a perfect example of what happened to this country. We spoke early on today about Labor Day. When Labor Day was first celebrated, 95% of everything was made in America. That was in 1882. 95% of everything was made in America. Some stuff was brought in, raw materials and stuff like that, from all over the world. But majority of what was made in America was done by our people. How did we go from 95% to about 30%?
And I know that I know that Bruce has the counter, somewhat of a counter argument to the pullout in Afghanistan.
Okay, let's hear it, Bruce.
I'm just tired of being lied to.
Absolutely. And besides, if there was a plan, Larkin, if somebody could say, well, we're going to show you the plan from 10 days ago, just so you're convinced that we really had our country's best interest at heart. But there is no plan. It's they sit down at a table and they decide today, this is what it'll be. 12 o'clock noon, it's another plan. 6 o'clock at night, you know, it's another, let's have coffee tonight. It doesn't work like that. If you're going on a trip to Florida, you don't want to go from Philadelphia to California to New Mexico and then to Florida. You want to go direct so you don't waste time, money, energy. And that's what they did to us. They wasted time, our money. Look at the money wasted. The money to do this. It didn't make any sense.
You want to get a grip on a $30 trillion deficit that we have, that we're coming up upon in Afghanistan, to get to the $2 trillion that we spent. I hope you're all sitting down. To get to that $2 trillion, we had to spend $300 million a day for the 2 years we were there. $300 million a day in 2 years gets you to $2 trillion. So you want to know about a $30 trillion deficit?
Well, you know, I do want to say this, because I work in human services and I have to look at things from start to finish for people. Otherwise, there's no positive ending. When George Bush made the order to go there, there should have been a plan, not that it should be announced, but in 1 year, 2 years, or 3 years, this operation would be brought to an end.
Bush lied to us. Obama lied to us. Trump lied to us. And now Biden's lying to us.
Every one of them.
Lied through their teeth.
And there was no pushback from the American people. They were just too busy, you know, with other things right before their eyes.
I think it's selfish.
Yes, greed, the greed. Some of these business people do not like me and hope that I go away soon. But they understand that what's happening now in America, they're not even going to be able to get their stuff for their Christmas distribution. You know that, Mark. A lot of that stuff is not coming over.
And we were told the other day by the federal government that if we wanted to have a decent Christmas, this was on the CBS News this morning, if we want to have a decent Christmas, we better buy Christmas toys right now.
No
guarantee that they'll even be available.
Can I jump in here?
Yes, yeah, Bruce, we're waiting for you. Bruce, tell us everything.
Well, you know, I'm British, as you probably know. And Michael, thanks for reminding us that World War II started on this day with the invasion of Poland by Nazi Germany.
Britain's
anniversary of declaring war on Germany purely because they invaded Poland and were told that that was the red line. So on September the 3rd, is when we heard Chamberlain say,
we are now in a state of war with Germany. And he's, from that time forward, for 6 years, we fought a bloody war, bloodiest war in history. So anyway, I'm not going to challenge Larkin on what he's saying. I will remind him and you and everybody that, you know, he and I are in our 70s. If you're under 40 in today's world, you have no idea what Larkin's talking about. And the world is going to change so dramatically in 20 years that everything we're talking about right now is going to be irrelevant. And I don't care what anybody says. The demographics prove it. The younger people in this country and around the world have no intention of looking at the world the way we do. And we need to get ready to understand that. And on a business front, I noticed that, you know, we're still talking about stuff not getting in for Christmas. I was reading a very interesting article on, I think it was Bloomberg yesterday, about the huge private equity wars that are going on right now. Hundreds of equity firms going around the world, from America, UK, and elsewhere. They're buying up stuff left, right, and center. They will collapse them with debt, and we'll have all sorts of problems. And nobody's taking any notice of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether any of you have anything to say about it, but it was a very kind of alarming article. They're picking on...
Okay, can you give me a little more detail? That sounded ominous, Bruce, but say that one more time. What the private equity
firms are buying up, having a buying spree. These are private equity firms, mostly in the U.S., U.K., and Germany, and places like that. And they're picking on, like, supermarket chains that are struggling. And they will saddle them with debt and then put them out of business. And they're doing the thing the other way around in this country.
And where is the profit in it for them? They'll have the debt in their pocket. The debt they created, the dollars they created through debt, will be in their pocket.
It's got nothing to do with the good of mankind or anything else. It's to do with their pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you all know what happened to Sears. That's exactly what happened to Sears. It was saddled with debt, and then they just chucked it. so it's it is what it is. And as far as our departure from Afghanistan, there has never been a good departure on this kind of thing in history. I don't know whether they could have done it any better. I'm sure they could have done. I'm sure they should have done. But I was in Mozambique when that country collapsed, and I know what that's like. I was in the British Army in Aden when we walked out of that country, leaving it to be what it is today, a third world rotten country. We never did anything good for South Yemen. So, you know, this is nothing new.
But you know, Bruce, I have to say this to you: you're absolutely right about Sears and many, many of these other stores, and yet we don't hear anything about it in the news media. Our political people, those running for office, nothing. It's beyond anything I can imagine. When I talk about different things to people, I say, well, have you considered, you know, doing this? And you know what? One person gave me a very interesting suggestion. They said, Michael, maybe this year Christmas is going to have to be with a lot less items under the tree. I said, well, that would be...
I don't think there's any doubt about that.
It might be interesting, but they're saying... I may want to support all American type items. And instead of trying to give, you know, all these presents to my sisters and brothers and all, maybe I'll buy basic things American-made candles, wrap them up beautiful, and give those types of things. Maybe I'll make cookies this year. I'm going to do something different. And some people are very, very angry, thinking that they will be taken over at the cash register because these items are coming in from overseas, and they're going to go up, up, up in price because the demand is going to be there. Maybe it's time. Larkin made a comment about 3 months ago, and he said, maybe if it costs too much, don't buy it. You remember that, Larkin?
Well, you try to teach that to your children and all of America. But the American banking system is built on buy more. Don't worry. You don't have the money? Don't worry about it. Put it on this card, and we're going to give you some points back. You're going to be irreparably in debt, but we're going to give you points back, and you're going to get to spend those on other more stuff. You got to buy stuff. Let's go buy some stuff.
Well, this year I've made a pledge. It's going to be I've made a pledge, and I've been doing it for some years now with my kids and grandkids and everybody else. I won't give, if I can't find something American-made, I'll give a gift certificate or money, period. If I like something and I find it that's American-made, because even the kids, the little kids, as soon as they get something, they right away look on the back of the card to see where it's made. That's what I like. That's positive example. We haven't been teaching that. And by the way, I went to buy some greeting cards in one of the stores in the Northeast Philly. And I said to the person, I need a few of these greeting cards for a special occasion. Why is everything on these shelves foreign made? And he, of course, he was funny. He was very good. He said, because the people bought up all the American-made stuff. So we laughed together. And I said, well, I don't like the idea. That means the buyer should go out of his way to buy more American-made, if that's the thing. Or maybe we should make the price of those foreign cards so high that it makes the American card look much more reasonable to buy. But these people don't have much to say. Our political leaders have no discussion point. Our business leaders should be on the microphones every hour of the day. They have more than 1,000 ways to get to the people, through podcasts, through the internet, you name it, they have access. Why aren't they talking about this? Mark, do you understand why people, you have your radio show, so you interview various people. There's not enough of you and I and Bruce and Henry and Larkin and there's just nobody, Rich, nobody out there doing this enough. And then when you do have somebody like John Andrzejewski who runs Open the Books, people constantly attack him. He's a younger guy. He's asking all kind of questions. Why are we spending money on this and why are we spending money on that? Instead of people saying, oh, that's interesting, we didn't even know, you know, that the bill was 2,700 pages, they say, well, we have to depend on our elected officials to lead us appropriately.
Yeah, well, that's your first mistake.
As soon as they say that, I want to run for the, I thank them, and all I want to do is get away from them, because I, you know, me, I can have an opinion at times.
I have that's such good. A low amount of esteem for anybody that's been, used to be, you admired somebody who was represented you in Washington, D.C. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a single one of them.
I really know. Larkin, can you tell me, right off the bat, who in Washington is promoting American jobs? Who in Washington's promoting the fact that Labor Day 1882, 95% of everything sold in America was made in America? Nothing. I well, did it because it's a historic fact.
You've asked me this a million times, and there is no answer other than we became a world economy, and things shifted. You can talk all you want about paying a fair wage in America, and that's great. I don't think $7.95 or whatever it was is a fair wage, and somehow we have to repair that. But instantly raising it to $15 an hour, you don't have to look very far to see how it's affected the economy, and it will continue. There are other ways to do what they've done by simply saying, we're going to give you $15 an hour. And the American public runs away going, wow, $15 an hour? Well, then they don't realize that they're now going to pay $4.95 for a Snickers bar. I'm sorry. I mean,
that's right.
Is a very similar sandwich, common sandwich up here, but $15 one place was trying to charge. Nobody's buying it.
Yeah, well, I think we have to continue this conversation because I'd like to see some more information, some ideas shared as we get to November as American Made Month and December as Small Business Month. We have to do something to give an example to these people in Washington and to the business leaders themselves. The business leaders don't want to hear anything because they are mainly pushing foreign-made items. So a broadcast like ours, a movement like ours, an internet site like ours takes away, just takes away minutes from their day that they have to justify. Well, they're saying there's not enough made in America. People are on poverty, living in poverty. They're on food stamps and everything because there's not enough jobs. We have to focus on this because otherwise it's not going to happen. First of all, thank you, Bruce. Thank you, Larkin. Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Henry, for making our broadcast a great success today. I want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very, very enjoyable Labor Day. Please, as Rich Logis so often asks, go out of your way to look for something made in America and share the ideas and the products, the names of the product, where you bought it, with family members and friends. I see that the music is playing. That means it's time to say goodbye for today. Listen to rebroadcasts anytime by going to AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Until next Wednesday at 11 or this Saturday at 11, I wish you and yours the very best. May God bless you and may God bless America.
Have a great week, guys.